Welcome to Podcast Ed, a podcast of Step Up for Students, covering the stories behind the new world of public education. On this episode, Step Up for Students' Director of Student Learning and Partner Success, Rhonda Dry, speaks with Monica Matthews of St. Paul Catholic School and Rebecca Kolgershotz of Heartland Christian Academy. The three discuss their school's participation in a pilot program of rigorous knowledge-based curriculum through Great Minds and Wit and Wisdom, and encourage other similar private schools in Florida to follow suit. If you're a school leader who wants to participate, please contact your regional student learning and partner success coordinator at Step Up for Students for more information. Thank you for listening and enjoy the episode.
Welcome to today's podcast. I'm Rhonda Dry, the director of the Student Learning and Partner Success Team. And today I have the privilege to be joined by Monica Matthews, the assistant principal of St. Paul Catholic School, and Rebecca Kolgershotz, director of Heartland Christian Academy. Debbie and Rebecca, welcome, and thank you for spending some time with us this afternoon.
Well, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah. So let's get started. As school leadership, what was the aha moment where you really identified we need to do something different for our students? And then what led that to you changing your curriculum?
I'll start if you don't mind, Monica, but we had actually been looking for curriculum prior to being asked by Step Up for Students to look at this particular of the Great Minds curriculum. So we were already in the process of looking. So when Paula and Carol came to me and said, we have this opportunity and we're going to pay for your curriculum. That made it, you know, more enticing that we were part of the initial pilot program, that those funds would be covered, because buying any new curriculum, the upfront costs are always high. So it was a perfect match at that time, because we hadn't found anything that was particularly rigorous enough that we had wanted to use on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, same thing at St. Paul. We were mainly focused on our math. I know we didn't want to go with the program we had been using for about the last 5 years. We wanted something more rigorous. And just when we were presented with the Step Up for Students pilot program, and it encompassed the ELA as well, we just kind of jumped on it and said, yeah, let's give it both a try.
Right. So did either of you have concerns about possibly moving away from a faith-based curriculum? Like, how did you address those concerns with your staff, with yourself, with maybe even your church board or the overseers of your school? Well, how did you address that, and what were your concerns?
All right. Well, our math, it wasn't as a big difference, because, I mean, you're going by the standards of the Florida math standards. So the math wasn't as big of a problem. It was sometimes the ELA, because we tended to incorporate some faith-based literature. But right now, even like within the fourth grade, Wit and Wisdom, we're reading Hatchet. And you can tie in your faith-based information along with the good literature that the kids are looking at. Even in the third grade, with like them studying Jacques Cousteau and the oceans, talking about God's creation. So just blending our religion aspect into everything that we're doing.
And we were already not in a faith-based ELA curriculum, because when I began at Heartland Christian, they had lost a lot of funding. They didn't have the money to buy the books. So they were bits and pieces of different things that they were using when I came in. So we were already not using faith-based, because the teachers were, like you said, Monica, integrating Jesus into it anyway. So, and I had heard from a mentor at one time when I was first doing this job that we can sprinkle Jesus into everything. So that wasn't a concern. Our teachers are Christians. They knew that they could, if it was something that reflected not our values, they are able to take that part out. Great Minds agrees with that. We don't have to teach anything we don't agree with. So if we did have anything that came up, the teachers are able to either adjust that or say, but this is what we believe as Christians. And so we use it as a teachable moment.
That's awesome. And so how did you address, because I know like professional learning came with this, right? Like there was a whole learning curve.
So much.
So yeah. How did you address that with your staff?
Well, Step Up for Students did an awesome job with the little cohorts, meeting all the time. The upfront training as well from Great Minds virtually, because I know the pandemic and everything, we were like in the middle of it. Just all of that training was so helpful. And even now when we have new teachers on staff, being able to send them again, mm-hmm. or if somebody needs a refresher. But I think the cohorts, just being able to talk with one another and kind of working it out together as well, helped so much.
Yes, and the Great Minds training is easily accessible. So the principals also did it, the directors, you know, we also took part in that. So that was helpful that we had some background knowledge, and because I am not an elementary teacher, I'm more middle and high focused. So that was helpful. And also encouragement from Paula to schedule those times with our teachers to collaborate together. So it wasn't just the cohorts, but we actually, the first year, we met together every other week during a planning time, and we were able to discuss and have questions and concerns. And that I emailed directly to Paula or to Great Minds, and they were able to address those concerns they had. So we could not wait till the next cohort came about. We were able to get some answers quickly.
That's great. So when you you talked about this a minute before about the budget. So how now you're in your third year of Great Minds, Wit and Wisdom, how has this impacted your budget for curriculum?
Well, I personally this year used our EANS funding that we were awarded to purchase curriculum. So last year, Step Up provided it. This year, we were able to replenish using some EANS funding. So that was very helpful this year. It was a bit of a long process, so we were a little delayed in getting some materials. But when we got them, they were perfect in here and ready to go. So we had some online access at that time as well. So next year, we will have more EANS funding. And so we'll see how it goes after that. But right now it's perfect timing because it's a secular curriculum, not faith-based, I should say, that can be covered through that EANS funding. So that works out well.
Oh, that's good.
And Becca, we did the same as well. We purchased everything through EANS. So it's been rather easy on the budget.
Yes. Yeah.
That's good. That's real good. Do you think it'll have, like you said, next year, you'll see how it impacts your budget? So that'll be interesting to see how you continue on. But you purchase most of your geodes and all those things, right? All the extra manipulatives.
Yes, we did. And also, the cost per student is not very high. So even to have the when we do have to purchase it, it was actually very cost effective compared to some other curriculums for the consumable items. So there's lots of things you use each and every year, but the consumables are not that expensive comparatively, I believe.
Oh, that's good. That's real good to know. So did when you thought about this and you're like, okay, we're going to go for it, did you have any teachers that gave you a little bit of pushback because it was just so new and so the expectation may have been just a little bit different with all the professional learning and all the things that went into it?
Well, the way Paula and Step Up for Students had told us to adjust and have like the kindergarten, first grade teachers take one subject and then they would switch. I think that helped that they weren't learning two brand new subjects, because mm-hmm. I mean, throwing two subjects, two new curriculum with the subjects, that it would have been so overwhelming. So that was a big part of the success for our teachers. We didn't have much pushback, especially because of all of that great training. The teachers were very well prepared, ready to go first day of school because of all of that training.
And I think, unfortunately, you know, we started this right after students had been out for a quarter of the year for COVID. So we were coming back with pandemic response and different social distancing responses in our classrooms. So the whole beginning of the year was stressful. So So then for my teachers to also have this new curriculum that was very scripted and very, you needed to teach it in this particular manner, it was a bit of a challenge at the beginning, and we went very slow, and it was okay that we went slow. So we just had to push through. And then by January, I think it was a really that aha moment for our teachers, because we had gone through the worst of it. It was just a lot to do at one time. And Paula said, had we known, of course we wouldn't start this all right now, right. But it was where we were, and it was where we were at. So this year was a much smoother process, and I had one new teacher. She did the launch training, and so she's had some mentoring from some teachers on campus. So I think it's really been helpful that my math teacher can in first grade can go help my math teacher in second grade, since the curriculums are similar. But it was a shift of going, well, why do I have to do this on this day? Or why do I have to spend only 10 minutes? I want to spend 20 minutes. Well, we're never going to make it if you spend 20 minutes on all these things. So again, it was back to that discussion based conversations of what I'm not getting where I need to be. So what can I do differently? And Paula was very helpful, and the great minds, Ashley, and I forget the other woman's name, but they were very helpful in that.
Good. That's real good. And did you find yourself having to increase your teacher's planning time in order to prepare for proper instruction techniques and things that they learned?
I did, on the base of the recommendation from Step Up in Great Minds last year. But this year we had an hour last year of planning time each day. But this year we went back to 45 minutes, because the special areas that had to cover that planning time, it was a bit of a challenge to have kindergarten for an hour of anything. So so that we went back this year to just the 45 minutes.
Okay.
Our teachers have that 45 minutes. Sometimes it's twice a day. So they have a lot of planning time, but we instituted last year with all of this lunchtime PLCs, where they would get together and they were able to talk as well. So I think that helped a lot, so that they could meet with the other teachers and kind of go through things and get questions answered.
Wow, that's great to know. How did your parents, how did you communicate to your parents, and what was their response about changing curriculum?
My parents, we didn't really do a big, hello, we're doing something new. We just kind of just did it and sent home the homework helpers and the parent letters. And I had a few parents question, is this Common Core? Why are we doing it five different ways? You know, this is not the way we learned in the math. And I, after being in different classes and seeing the vertical alignment between your kindergarten and your fifth grade, and yes, it's hard to learn this new verbiage, but I'm speaking math because, you know, that's my thing. So I love math. So, but I just had to have conversations with a few parents directly that said, just wait and let's see, you know, let's see how in the end what they know, what they don't know now, they will know by the end of the year.
And so what are they saying now?
Nobody complains any longer. So, I mean, that's a good thing. I don't have parent meetings anymore about what curriculum is this we're doing. So they've just accepted it as the way it is. So it's just what we're doing.
Yeah. And have they noticed anything different at home with their kids when they're sitting down doing homework or they're reading with them? Have they noticed any changes?
I mean, we've had parents come and like they can't believe the lessons that they're reading and learning about in the Wit and Wisdom program. Some of the parents can't believe, like, third graders, like I said, are learning about Jacques Cousteau, fifth grade learning about the Civil War. So they were very excited to see all of that nonfiction piece connected within the ELA program.
And I am a parent. I have a third grader, so I am seeing the reflection of how she can compare what she's reading in class to real life. So she had a instance with Ruby Bridges, I think that's the name of it. So we were watching a show and she's like, this is just like what happened with Ruby in the book. She wasn't allowed to do these things. So I'm seeing it personally with my own child of how the background of the expansion of knowledge and what they're reading is really affecting how she's looking at the world.
Because I think that's the difference, right, with this curriculum, is it's knowledge based versus standards. I mean, it's based on standards, but it's not, it's full, complete knowledge. So Rebecca, talk a little bit more about the knowledge base of that.
So what I especially, like I said, I really can focus on the math because I teach secondary math. So looking at what they're learning in the elementary grades of yes, there's more than one way to do something. This is what it looks like, not just how we do it, but this is why we do it. I'm really seeing the background build to where when they, well, I'm hoping as we go forward, as we see them move into middle school, that they understand the math. They weren't just doing the math, because a lot of children in elementary are good memorizers, then they're good at math. But they get to middle school and they have no idea how to apply what they've learned. And so we see some struggles in middle school that were not seen in elementary school because they just don't have that, the why part. They just have the how part. So that's where I really see the difference in the math program. One thing I see in the ELA with when I'm in classrooms is the way they dialogue. So they're asking different questions. They're responding to higher level thinking questions. So it's not just what's the right answer. It's what do you think, and how are you applying this to what you've heard?
Within the Witten wisdom, there's a lot of background knowledge being built prior to even reading the textbooks. So like in the fifth grade, we were reading Thunder Rolling in the Mountains and building the knowledge on the Native Americans out west and that westward expansion. And fifth graders, I mean, that's not part of their background in their social studies training. So just building, and they provide so many resources as well with articles and pictures and maps that it helps to build the knowledge before going and reading the literature. So the background knowledge is the key part.
That's great. So what data are you seeing from your students on their achievement? Are you seeing increases? Are you starting to see in the data that your curriculum change has made a difference?
We actually did not see much difference this year, which we would be expected. We were expecting. So while we want to see great growth quickly, we can also understand that it is a process, and that, you know, the students, through all that they went through last year, we were thankful to finish the year. So we're looking forward to this year to really see where we can find some gains. And just looking at the, we use the MAP testing. It just, we didn't see any major improvement in most areas, but we didn't see any declines either. So we're just waiting to see the long term.
Good.
And that's what we kind of saw with our Terra Nova scores. I mean, being out for that whole year with COVID, some students were virtual, and then they came in to take the Terra Nova last year. So I'm hoping that we'll see a little more gains. I do know that a lot of the teachers were using Easy CBM for our progress monitoring. And I've heard some of the teachers saying there's some growth within those from September to January. So it's looking promising.
Oh, that's good. Very good. Well, ladies, again, we just want to thank you for your time. And today, as we end the podcast, we would like to encourage our other principals that are listening and school leaders to really start thinking about your curriculum. And is it meeting your students' needs? And if you need more information or you'd like to know who to contact, please do not hesitate to contact your Student Learning and Partner Success Territory Manager. They're here to help you and guide you and get you to the right people. Thank you, ladies, for joining us today. And a big thank you to Monica and Rebecca for helping us make this podcast happen. It's been a pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.